Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Make sure you keep voting or get a vote in if you haven't yet on that Twitter poll question of the day, part two. Who do you hate the most amongst Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders, Ezekiel Elliott, Tom Landry? Hit us up on that. We'll get to the finals in the 1 o'clock hour. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. We're going to nonstop this segment for about a half an hour. Brought to us by Penn Medicine Heart and Vascular Center. The Penn Medicine Heart and Vascular Center is the largest arrhythmia, valve disease, heart disease, and heart transplant center in the region. To learn more, go to PennHeart.org. All right, 888-729-9494. Schwartz Carlton guest line's been active today. And, of course, if you're injured at work, get justice. Call Schwartz Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. Our buddy Paul Charchin today brought to us by our friends at South Bowl. Be sure to come out tonight, South Bowl. Tonight at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11, I'll be hosting Quizzo out there, so get out tonight, win some prizes. Paul, what's going on, bud?
What's wrong with Tom Landry? I mean, all the fact that he was a really good coach. I mean, do people hate Landry? Yeah,
He's going to finish fourth. He's going to finish fourth, but you got to remember, he did some stuff. He ran up to score.
Like what, he wore a hat?
He ran up to score on the Eagles in a scab game. Can't do that.
Still.
He's more or less the representation of an era.
Yeah.
Well, a really good Cowboys football, yeah, but he's the picture of class, right?
Well, hold on. He was also the coach of Hollywood Henderson. I mean, you know, I mean, how much class are we talking about?
Well, that's true, but look at Jimmy Johnson. I mean, compared to Jimmy Johnson Barry Switzer.
Well, just so you know, Paul, this was only poll of the day part two. We're doing staggered polls, and we're going to have all these guys meet in the finals later today.
Ah, I like it. Landry's going to get knocked out of this.
I agree with you. No, we're with you on that. All right, Paul, let's get into it. Fantasy football. Get people on the right side of fantasy football this week. Thursday night football, of course, tonight. Tell us, you know, what everyone needs to know about the key players tonight.
Yeah, a handful. Not a half-bad game tonight, actually. We got two teams with a winning record facing each other. Let's start on the Tennessee side with Marcus Mariota. Steelers have surrendered multiple passing touchdowns in two of the past three games, and they just lost Joe Hayden to a season-ending injury, so I like Mariota. Corey Davis is their first-round rookie. He's had three full games. In two of those three games, he's been targeted a whopping 10 times. So he appears to be as much of a go-to guy as anybody in that offense. Rishard Matthews is their more reliable guy. He normally would have gotten Joe Hayden, but he probably gets a lot of the backup, Cody Sensabaugh, who in just a handful of snaps has been brutal this year. Delanie Walker might be on the bench. He has not scored this year, and only one tight end is top 50 yards against the Steelers. And then there's Murray and Henry, the most frustrating, confounding timeshare for fantasy owners. You could try to chase Murray's three touchdowns last week, but they split carries right down the middle, and the Steelers have only allowed one back to top 40 receiving yards. They haven't given up a running back touchdown since week five, so they're both startable, but I don't love either one. Pittsburgh side's really simple. Ben is awesome at home. Your listeners already know that. Everybody knows he's great at home. He's even better in cold weather. In his last two seasons of November and December home games, he averages 348 yards and three touchdowns. I love him tonight. Antonio Brown's my top wide receiver of the week. Le'Veon Bell's got a tricky matchup because the Titans boast the number six run defense. They're allowing just 92 ground yards per game. They're fourth in yards per carry. You still start him, but this is a tough matchup. And last guy I'll mention, Juju Smith-Schuster. Been terrific ever since Martavis Bryant cocked off. And the Titans rank in the bottom 12 in every category against receivers. They throw them in the end zone constantly. Absolutely startable, too.
Hey, Paul, let's talk about a scenario, a concept. Right
yes.
now, we've got a few players who are potentially about to return from IR or are returning from IR. So you got like a Danny Woodhead.
Right.
You got a Dede Westbrook. Kenny Golladay. I mean, he's a guy who was on IR for your fantasy team. Which of these players is worth playing this week you know, like right away. Get him in there and play him and don't worry about it.
I just picked up Kenny Golladay in one of my bigger leagues. You remember week one, he scored the two touchdowns. He played last week but only played 11 snaps. So hoping that they will expand 11 snaps to much something closer to a full rotation of snaps, but I can't say for sure that that's going to happen this week, so I wouldn't start him this week. Let's talk Danny Woodhead, though. I mean, most fantasy owners, and you know this, John, they have zero appetite for risk. They have to see physical evidence before they want to take any kind of risk whatsoever. Woodhead has been really fully recovered from his hamstring injury for many weeks now. He probably didn't need to go on IR to begin with, really. He's a lot better than Bunk Allen, and he ought to be ahead of him on the depth chart. He maybe is even ahead of him on the depth chart right now, but we just don't know. And the Ravens throw to the runners constantly. The Ravens have thrown passes to running backs over the last 2 years more than any team in the league. Bunk Allen is in the top 10 in running back targets, and this week's opponent's Green Bay. They've given up big games to Theo Riddick and Alvin Kamara. I think it's a little daring. We don't know for sure what Danny Woodhead's going to do in his first game back, but I think there's a scenario here where you play him this week.
Does Marquise Lee take a hit with Dede Westbrook in the mix?
We keep thinking this is the week Dede Westbrook comes back, and then they keep shelving him for another week.
That's why I feel like this week it has to happen, because they're saying it is going to happen, and it's, you know, it's been like, for 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I would like to see that. And Westbrook, for people who know, is the rookie receiver for the Jaguars who flashed big time in the preseason.
Looked amazing.
Yeah, looked fantastic. Now, Jacksonville goes up against Cleveland, and there's a temptation to think, well, maybe they'll just grind out the clock and win or whatever, but Cleveland's the number one run defense in the NFL. They're giving up 3 yards per carry, and if you're the Jaguars, what a great opportunity to let Blake Bortles, in a game they ought to win no matter what, let Blake Bortles go win you some games and get some confidence. So, yeah, there's a scenario here where if Dede Westbrook is active, you could throw a dart at him. I like it, John. I hadn't really thought about it that much, but I like that angle.
Paul Charchin from fanball.com with us. Paul, one of our on social media, we got hit up here by Josh.
Yeah.
Listens to the show. He's got Wentz and Breeze. Wants to know if it's time to finally bench Breeze for Wentz.
Well, it probably has been for most of the season, right? I mean, Breeze is the guy that's taken it on the chops because the Saints' running attack is ridiculous right now. You know, they're on pace to get 3,000 rushing yards this year. Yeah. But it's astounding. And as it turns, and, you know, Breeze doesn't have to go win games with his arm anymore. So Wentz has been fantastic. It's a lukewarm Dallas pass defense that ranks bottom 12 in completions, passing yards, and touchdowns surrendered to opposing passers. Wentz is my number two quarterback this week.
Wow.
And I think almost every week you're going to start him over Drew Brees.
Hey, should the Seattle backfield situation be completely avoided at all costs?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. McKissick's going to maybe have a modern, you know, you could probably pick spots where they're playing teams that struggle against pass-catching running backs, and you could try him. But for the love of God, they've tried to get Thomas Rawls up and running behind this line, you know, eight times this year, and he just refuses to be any good,
right.
Still averaging about 2 yards per carry.
Right.
Yeah, it's sad.
What about Zeke owners in the grand scheme of things for the fantasy season, should they drop him now and just find someone that's going to work?
Yeah, it's sad that now that he's dropped the appeal, it's going to be the full six games. That means he'll be back for week 16. And, John, as you know for sure, you know, we don't generally like to play our championship games in week 17,
right,
because so many of the best offenses in the league are basically treating it like, are not playing their best players. So week 16 is the championship week. And unfortunately, Zeke goes up against Seattle. And Seattle's not a, you know, impossible run defense anymore, but they're still good.
Right.
And then if you do play in week 17, you know who he sees? Your team, the Eagles. I don't want any part of that either.
Right.
The Eagles' run defense has been awesome this year.
Yeah.
If I'm a Zeke owner right now, I would try to trade him to somebody who's some owner who's just convinced that they're going to be playing in the championship game in week 16. But otherwise, you may as well drop him.
All right, Paul. Let's talk about this week. Good matchups, favorable matchups, players that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think to play, sleepers, and also what to stay away from. Bad matchups this weekend.
Yeah, a couple of quick sleepers for you. One, Jay Cutler's turned his season around, averaging 2.5 touchdowns per game over the last month, and he faces the Bucs. They rank 30th against the pass. You could start him. You could also start his running back, Kenyon Drake, who looks like by far the better of the two runners, and they say they're going to continue to use Damian Williams a lot, but, you know, when push comes to shove, the best guys get work, and Drake's been the better of the two. The Bucs
he's
have
been
all
good in the passing game, too. You know,
yeah.
It's not like he can't catch and be functional.
That's a great point, because there was, I think going in, there was a thought, we knew Williams could catch,
right,
and so I think there was a thought that maybe Drake wouldn't be used that way. So that's a very salient observation. Bucks defense has allowed 100-plus yards to opposing running backs for the last six games, so Kenyon Drake makes sense. And then here's your sneaky sleeper wide receiver, Mike Wallace. Speed guys have killed the Packers, and especially their corner, Devon House. Josh Bellamy got loose again for a deep touchdown against the Packers last week. Week before that, Marvin Jones, speed guy downfield, two touchdowns. Week before that, Ted Ginn, 141 yards against Green Bay. That's Mike Wallace's whole game. So he makes a lot of sense. And if there's somebody to avoid out there, Todd Gurley, who's been just money this season, but a lot of what he's been so good at has been through the receiving game. Vikings are awesome on the ground and via the air. They rank number two in rushing yards per carry at only 3.4 yards per carry. They're number three in rushing yards allowed per game, and they've had a steady diet of elite pass-catching backs that they've seen all season long. None of them have done anything.
Wow. Fanball.com's Paul Charchian. Paul, always great insight, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, my friends. Bye-bye.
There he is, Paul Charchian on the Swartz Cullerton guest line.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.